born in Kuwait, who killed those military men in Chattanooga last week. And his name will come up now and then, but let's try to never forget the names of the men who died there.
Those are the ones that matter. Sergeant Thomas Sullivan, Staff Sergeant David Wyatt, Sergeant Carson Holmquist, Lance Corporal Squire Wells, and Navy Petty Officer Randall Smith, all of those under the Department of the Navy, but four of the Marines, and one of them a naval officer in the United States military, all of them trying to do the job of protecting us in the way that they did it, and they've been killed. We'll talk to Staff Sergeant Holmes in just a minute.
In fact, he's joining us now. The investigators said yesterday, I believe officially, that they believe it was a terrorist act. You think?
Yeah.
You think so? Let's connect here with Staff Sergeant John Holmes. Sergeant Holmes, it's Jack and Mike Royer. Can you hear us, sir?
Yes, sir, I can. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking about what happened in Chattanooga. We just need the names of the five men who died senselessly in Chattanooga. If a Marine or another combatant dies in combat, it's sad. You hate to lose any of our military personnel. Last week and what happened and the way these five men died must anger you and sicken you and anyone who loves the Marine Corps.
Yes, sir. It's always a it's always a tragedy when one of our brethren die in any circumstance, and we do our best we can. We move on, we learn from it, and we do our best to help the friends and families move on and support them throughout the entire process.
How did you, Staff Sergeant Holmes, you're in Montgomery, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
Give us a bit of your career with the military and with the Marine Corps. Tell us briefly about yourself and how you got involved with our with military service.
I was a young man, 18. I was walking down the street across from the college one day, and I decided that it was time for me to, really just do something with my life. I was going to school, and I'll be honest, I was making good grades, but I just, I don't think I was ready for the full commitment. I knew college was a big deal. I didn't know what I wanted to do after it. I didn't really have any direction in my life. And I was walking through there, and I spoke to all the different branches, and the Marine recruiter really impressed me. I was talking to him, a man of good character. Everybody I spoke to was, but he was the one that stuck in my mind, and I decided that that was a path I was going to make. And, there hasn't been a day I regret it. I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of great people, and it's been one of the best decisions of my life.
How has the Marine Corps changed you from that young man who was a good guy and a good student, as you indicated? How different are you today after your years in service? How has the Marine Corps changed you, Sergeant Holmes?
One of the biggest things that I've noticed is my sense of direction, my confidence. I would say as a young man, and I'd say it's probably true for a lot of young people, may just not have very high self-esteem, not a lot of confidence, not a lot of direction. And, the Marine Corps, throughout the whole training process, they tear you down just to build you up that much stronger. They make every Marine is a leader to someone. They set the example, whether it's at home, within their unit, or in the places that they work, or among their friends. And you're set to be a role model. And, the Marine Corps has built me up and made me, the person I am today. I have a lot more confidence, a lot more direction and purpose in my life. I know what I want to do, and I know how to go out and do it, and I have the will to do it.
Jack Royer, Mike Royer with Staff Sergeant John Holmes in for Leland Whaley this afternoon on Superstation 101.1. Staff Sergeant Holmes, tell us your reaction and your thoughts on civilians standing guard outside these recruitment stations, similar to the way that you got into the military, places where young men go in and decide to make a decision about their lives and a decision to protect folks like my dad and me here at home so that we can do things like this and be on the radio. What's your reaction when you see civilians standing guard outside military recruitment centers like they have been this week?
As a Marine and service member, we're always happy to have the support of the American people, and we appreciate that support. But we do ask that they not stand guard. Our continued trust is going to be with the local law enforcement and those first responders who are trained to handle these sort of situations. And they're the ones that are charged with safeguarding of our communities, of where we live and work. And we're just going to continue to trust them to do the job that they have been doing such a great job at doing. And we just ask that local citizens, while we appreciate it, we ask them to allow the police officers and other agencies to do what they're trained to do.
As you may be aware, on Capitol Hill this afternoon, they're having hearings about this subject, about whether men and women working in recruiting locations should be armed. Do you know where the Marines come down on that? Are you allowed or are you able to share your personal thoughts about that? Would you like to see these folks in a strip mall, a shopping center out in public? Would you like to see them with at least sidearms on to protect themselves?
You know, it's a complicated issue.
I know.
The Department of Defense has looked into the same situation after the Fort Hood and the Naval Yard shootings. And there's a lot that goes into it. If you allow a serviceman to carry a privately owned a weapon, either openly or concealed, there's a lot of safety and legal concerns on it. Our recruiting stations, not all of them are on just federal jurisdictions. Some of them also have local and state laws that apply. So it's just a sticky situation, and we're going to let our members of Congress look into that, and whatever they decide when it becomes law, we'll continue to do what we've always done, obey the law, defend our country's citizens, win our battles, and find young men and women to become United States Marines.
Sergeant Holmes, indulge me, if you will, for a minute. I'd like to ask you a personal question. We hear numbers on the news, military members that are killed fighting for this country. We've heard that for the last 10 years or more. You're not just a number. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your family. Tell us about the Marine that we're talking to right now.
I grew up in Texas, stationed here in Alabama. Went to University of South Carolina while I was in the military. A degree paid for completely through the Marine Corps. Have my bachelor's in psychology. I have a wife and two kids, aged 8 and 4. I teach karate here locally in Montgomery to young kids that need to know how to defend themselves. And about it.
That's a lot. You stay busy.
I do. I don't like having a lot of downtime. I like to stay active.
Let's ask you one more question, and we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. A lot of folks are listening all across Alabama, southern Tennessee this afternoon. What would you say to that young kid driving in his car this afternoon, maybe at home, and he hears your voice on the radio? What advice would you give him about seeking out a military career? Is a recruiting station enough? Should they come and visit a base? Should they talk to a Marine like you? What advice would you give to a young man or woman who would be interested in pursuing a career such as you have done with the Marine Corps?
You know, for any young man or woman, it's always good to go get information. You know, whether they're interested in joining the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, it never hurts to find out more about the opportunities that you can have. I wouldn't have any of the stuff that I have today had it not been for the Marine Corps. And I know probably about a dozen other Marines that are within 20 feet of me who could say something very similar to that. You know, I think all the branches have unique things that they give. And, you know, in addition to the benefits of a steady job, food, roof over your head, there's also some intangible benefits. We have strength, character development, leadership. Those are things that a lot of you can't learn that in college. That's something you kind of have to gain through experience. And I think that anybody who is interested in pursuing that should talk to somebody. And there's all sorts of opportunities. We have people do what I do. We have journalists. We have photographers. We have musicians. We have electricians. We have people that work on vehicles. There's so much in the military that people can do. And a lot of times they just don't know about it because they don't go ask. So I would say if they have any question about doing anything, military, you know, maybe they want to go to college, but they don't have the money. The military has ways to help them pay for it, just like they helped me. So I would say absolutely go talk to someone. Even if you don't know, you could learn something new. And even if it's not with the Marines, it may be with the Army or Navy. Someone out there in one of these branches can help you. And, you know, it's always good to get that information.
Staff Sergeant John Holmes of the United States Marine Corps in Montgomery, we assume at Maxwell Air Force Base.
Sergeant Holmes, thanks for your time today, but more importantly, thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for speaking with us today on a touchy subject, but on some happy notes, too. We really appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Good talking to him, and as I mentioned, we're a Marine family. I love all members of the military. My uncle is serving in the Marine Corps right now. He's in Okinawa, Japan. Lieutenant Colonel David Pinion. We, as you've said today, a Marine family in a way, and it's good to talk to one of the men serving our country. He answered my questions honestly, but he's not able to say yes.
Right.
You should arm them all, and he did what you would expect a good Marine to do, say that the Congress and the President ultimately will make decisions like that for the military, but we just want them safe.
Absolutely.
Whether they've got sidearms or civilians are out front or whatever, what a tragic waste to lose five Marines, four Marines, and a Navy petty officer to a terrorist act like was done in Chattanooga last week.
We want to hear what you have to think about that interview, about any topic. Lord knows there are plenty to talk about today on Superstation 101 right here in Birmingham, Alabama. Give us a call after this, 941-1011, toll-free 866-551-9933 at Superstation 101. Jack Royer, Mike Royer with you on Leland Live this afternoon. Back after this.